Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTGN Quarantine Podcast. As usual, before we begin, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd like to utilize this opportunity to give a huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people who have supported me over at patreon.com/mtgnquarantine. So a huge shout-out and thank you to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Neo Royal, Nick S., Infamous Fridge, and Frugal Brutal for supporting the show. If you'd like to support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtgnquarantine for more information. As you may have heard, my five-color colorless Najeela build has been featured in a couple of different pieces of content over this past week. Either you've potentially heard it out of Lenny Woolley's article on EDH Rec about trying to bring the power of a standard Najeela deck down, or whether you saw my appearance on the most recent episode of the House of Pricey Cardboard by Neo Royal, you've probably heard me talk about my five-color colorless Najeela on the podcast too. Again, it doesn't matter where you've heard about, but I figured that since it's been in the limelight a lot lately, I might as well do a quick deck tech as to why this deck exists, what it's looking to do, and just why I enjoy it. So this deck really was the brainchild of my good friend Mono Whiteboarder, aka Peter. I bought a copy of Najeela quite a few months ago, and I wanted to, in my own typical way, try to find a way to be able to bring the power down a little bit on a very powerful commander. Again, I've gone into more detail on this in multiple episodes, so if you haven't checked out one of those, definitely check those out, especially my episode with Lenny a couple weeks ago, which was really good, had a really good conversation about trying to bring down the loudness of certain very powerful commanders. But again, I digress. What's really nice about this particular avenue was that I had a Najeela card. I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do with it, except that I wanted to try to tone it down a little bit so that I could play it in my own personal playgroup. And Peter suggested that I try to find some interesting theme, such as only having a colorless land base. And the first thought I had when I saw that was, well, one, that sounds crazy, and then immediately, two, I should totally do that. So that was effectively the origins of the deck. I then quickly threw the deck apart, or together, not apart, together, utilizing pieces I already had in my long box of chaff, and basically the deck, as it stands now, was exactly the way that I built it at the very first, except for like a couple of cards. Anyway, so what makes five-color colorless Najeela really awesome is, again, the fact that the entire land base only taps for colorless mana. There is not a single basic land in this deck, save for a waste, but again, since a waste is technically not a basic land, I basically don't have a single basic land in this entire deck. So yes, it would crumble to anything that punishes non-basic lands, but again, I'm hopefully not going to be running into too many of those things with this deck, because again, I don't play it a ton. It's one of those decks where you kind of have to have the group on the same page when you're playing it. But again, if you can find that proper experience, and that again goes back into Rule Zero, if you can find that experience, it's a great deck to play, just have fun with a lot of people, and you know, still get to do the Najeela thing. Anyway, so again, yes, while all of the lands do tap for colorless, I did allow myself some filter lands so that I could at least try to activate Najeela's ability. So again, Najeela is a 2 and a red human warrior cost, or it is a 3-2, and it reads, whenever a warrior attacks, you may have its controller create a 1-1 white warrior creature token that's tapped and attacking. And if you pay Wooburg, you can untap all attacking creatures. They gain trample, lifelink, and haste until end of turn. After this phase, there is an additional combat phase, and activate this ability only during combat. So again, I am trying to activate the Wooburg ability off Najeela, but again, the deck is not trying to be able to do this an inordinate amount of times. It's basically just trying to see, can I do this every turn, period. So it's definitely powering Najeela down, and in order to be able to activate that ability with a fully colorless land base, I need to have filter lands. So that's why I am running things like Painted Bluff that you're probably not going to see in most decks in EDH, because it is extremely inefficient, but that's what's so great about this deck, is I really don't care. I'm just running a whole bunch of Shimmering Grotto, and the one really, really good land in here is Cascading Cataracts, which is an indestructible land out of Amonkhet. You can tap it to add colorless, or you can pay 5 and tap it to add 5 mana in any combination of colors to your mana pool. So it effectively, I can create Wooburg off creating Cascading Cataracts and at least get one Najeela activation for 5 generic mana. And what's really nice about the rest of the lands that I have in this deck is that some of them are quite strong in their own right. I am running a Westvale Abbey should I want to be able to sacrifice those warriors to be able to create Ormondal. I'm running all 3 of the Tron lands because, again, if you've heard me talk on this episode, I like throwing the Tron lands into a lot of different decks in hopes that I am able to somehow get natural Tron and get a whole bunch of mana. Again, I don't go tutoring for these cards. It's kind of, if I draw them, it's great, but, you know, it's just fun having them in there. And Rogue's Passage as well as Access Tunnel allow me to hopefully get Najeela through to do damage because, again, I don't have a lot of ways to protect her in this deck, so these will hopefully allow me to hit home if absolutely necessary, so I can still try to advance my game plan doing the thing without having to obviously run colored basics. And again, the rest of the ones in this deck are just a whole bunch of, you know, solid utility lands, plus just some of the Ravnica guild lands. They just have some really bizarre abilities that are really not relevant. They just happen to tap for colorless mana, and I just figured might as well throw those in there. Though I will say Slayer Stronghold is pretty good for, so it's a land that allows me to tap red, white, and tap it to give target creature +2/+0 and give it vigilance and haste. Again, Najeela does not have vigilance, so Slayer Stronghold at least gives me something to be able to allow to have Najeela as a blocker should I need that until end of turn. So yes, there is kind of some madness in this deck, honestly, as far as some of the lands chosen. I did also choose quite a few useful utility lands that do have a lot of value both on my turn and on other players' turns. Then when you look at the number of creatures I'm running, I'm only running a couple of warriors, actually. I didn't want this to be complete warrior tribal because, again, a lot of the deck is devoted to mana rocks. I'm currently running 32 artifacts in this deck, a lot of which are mana rocks. Running a whole bunch of just random signets, lockets. I'm running even a couple of the banners in there, which I actually kind of like the banners in this deck because they do tap for 3 mana. They do tap for 1 of 3 different colors, and if you pay the 3 colors of that, of that particular wedge, especially in Mardu Banner's case, and you tap and you can sacrifice, you can draw cards. So it's just kind of a poorer version of Commander Sphere. But again, since you only run 1 Commander Sphere in this deck, you're going to need multiple options. And the fact that I can cash it in if absolutely necessary to draw a card is really nice. I'm running things like Prismatic Lens, which allow me to filter, running some of the diamonds, Talisman or 2, and then just a few basic, like Whisper Silk Cloak, a few ways to be able to protect Najeela. But again, most of the artifacts in this deck are trying to be able to tap for any color of mana to be able to make up for the fact that I'm not running any lands with actually produce colorless mana by themselves. So again, I'm running a couple of warriors. I do run Alesha Smiles of Death, Grand Lord Ward Rada, Laviza Cold Eyes, which is really nice because she gives all of my warriors +2/+2 in haste when she's on the battlefield, so that's a nice little effect, as well as Summit Voice of Descent, which gives all my other creatures haste. So again, I'm only running 4 other warriors in this deck besides Najeela because I'm not trying to really overrun the board with warriors. I'm really trying to force myself to have to work really hard to get this deck to work. So in the way that I would like to be able to. So again, that was part of the challenge, and really part of the challenge about trying to play it is it's not just going to reward you for playing the game. You really have to work for everything you get in this deck. I do run all 5 of the mirror, the color producing mirror from Mirrodin. So again, that's Copper Mirror, Gold Mirror, Iron Mirror, Silver Mirror, and where's the other one? I always forget which one. Leaden Mirror, sorry. Yeah, so I'm running all those, plus Mirror Galvanizer, which is a really nice foil copy in the deck. It reads, other mirror creatures you control get +1/+1, and if you pay 1 and you tap Mirror Galvanizer, you can untap each other mirror you control, which is really nice because if you have at least 2 mirror out there, you've gained 1 additional mana for that turn. I also run a couple of other interesting things, like Birds of Paradise is in there, just again for mana fixing. Foundry Inspector, which allows my mirror and my other artifacts to cost 1 less when they hit the battlefield. I am running Savage Event Maw, which elite, whenever it attacks, it allows me to create red, 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 green, green, green. So all of a sudden, I'm now 2/5 of the way to being able to get an Nigella activation based on just Savage Event Maw attacking, which is really nice. I have Scrap Trawler in there, which allows me to hopefully be able to loop one of my artifacts back to the battlefield if another one of my artifacts dies. So it's a little bit of protection for some of my lower cost artifacts, as well as kind of the weird standout deck, Kozilek the Great Distortion. it's kind of a weird card to include in this deck, but I just like the fact that whenever you cast Kozilek the Great Distortion for 8 colorless colors, if you have fewer than 7 cards in hand, draw cards equal to the difference. Effectively, just a really good way to be able to refill my hand after I've been playing a whole bunch of cards, because the colorless mana is not going to be a problem because everything I tap, or every land I have, taps for colorless. So the colorless and Kozilek's casting cost doesn't mean anything to me because I already have colorless mana. And it's just a really interesting way to get a giant 12-12 with Menace out there, which can beat face, but also one which can just draw me some cards when I'm a little bit short on card draw just because I don't have a lot of colored mana running around. And the sorceries and the instants are kind of just a really weird mixture of usual removal spells, a counterspell or two. I love running Teemer Battle Rage in here because I can generate red mana. So, you know, being able to give Nigella double strike until end of turn and potentially trample if I'm able to get her power up +1 is really, really nice. As well as just something like Treasure Cruise, which is just generically good in this sort of deck. As long as I can generate one blue mana, after a while in this sort of game, I'm probably able to delve 7 cards, or, you know, up to 7 cards to be able to cast this. So it's really nice to be able to have, as long as there's only one mana pip in there at all. That's the goal. So anyway, that's basically the guts of the 5-color colorless Nigella deck. And the third part I want to talk about here is why I enjoy playing this deck. And again, I've mentioned this a lot of times before. This deck is really funny to bring out against a bunch of people who've never seen it before and have preconceived notions that Nigella is just going to beat your face in. And it's really fun to be able to say, well, yeah, I guess, but, you know, this Nigella deck only runs colorless lands, and then immediately people are just, whoa, that's really weird, that's really cool, we want to see how this works. And again, it starts that conversation. I really enjoy starting conversations when I play Magic. That's really what I feed off of as a Battlecruiser player. And the ability to be able to play this busted commander, but also really have a huge puzzle and challenge ahead of me every time I do, is really great. Again, this deck really doesn't run without Nigella, so it's kind of a glass cannon. But again, I don't play it a whole ton because, like I said before, you need to have the right play group for this to really work. If someone is really trying to remove Nigella as soon as she hits the table, it's not going to work, really, for me as a player. At that point, this deck cannot handle that. So again, it's kind of a gimmick in its own way, but I just enjoy having it, if nothing else, as a poster child for just my unique deck building style. It's just fun to be able to play with Nigella, but also not feel like I'm blowing the whole table out whenever I play her, because again, I have hampered myself, restricted myself with a very, very restrictive theme, while also still getting to do the thing that Nigella wants to do. It's just not being able to get that accomplished as easily. I'm not running a lot of the very scary Nigella things. I'm not running a land base that can actually produce colored mana, you know? So I'm not running any of the very scary, scary bits of Nigella. I'm just kind of, I basically tore it down to the component parts and rebuilt it from there, and just am running a whole bunch of mana rocks. So yes, I'm very reliant on artifacts. Artifact Hate just destroys this deck too. But again, hopefully if you can find the right meta, this is the perfect kind of deck to just have a bunch of casual fun and just, you know, maybe have a few laughs with your friends. So that's really why I enjoy playing 5-color colorless Nigella. And if you haven't had the opportunity to take a look at this deck list for yourself or see it in action, I highly recommend you check it out either on my Muxfield profile, or you can check it out on the House of Pricey cardboard from Neo Royal. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. If you want to hear more about this 5-color colorless Nigella or any of the other podcast episodes I've done on the MTG in Quarantine podcast, you can find those on the usual podcast helots. That's Google, Apple, Spotify, Player FM, Rocket Cast, Pocket Cast, and many, many other podcast outlets. You can also find me on Twitter at MTGInQuarantine. And I'd like to utilize this opportunity to give another huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. So another huge thanks to Mr. Big Bence, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Neo Royal, Nick S, Infamous Fridge, and Frugal Brutal for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast, everybody. My name's MG. Have a great rest of your day.